The Escape Pod. Let's go on a trip through time to see what tomorrow looked like yesterday.
Preparing escape pod for war.
Today was yesterday's tomorrow. Where we are now used to be the unimaginable future. And today's outdated entertainment used to be yesterday's state of the art.
Power.
Sifting through science fact and science fiction, from outdated technology to the birth of the future. Let's get away from it all for a few minutes by going back the way we came in the logbook.com's Escape Pod. I'm Earl Green, and I'll be your guide through the fantastic, the futuristic, and the unmistakably geeky. This is what tomorrow looked like yesterday. On this day in 1967, NASA's Surveyor 5 departed for the moon, but it only landed there thanks to ingenuity on Earth. A problem developed with Surveyor 5's fuel pressure, forcing ground controllers to reprogram the vehicle in flight, a first for a robotic space vehicle. In 1997, a completely different Surveyor arrived. The Mars Global Surveyor reached the Red Planet, going into orbit to begin its mission of mapping Mars at high resolution. Born on this day in 1934, actor Ian Abercrombie, the voice of the future Emperor in the Star Wars animated series The Clone Wars.
Senator Amidala, I just received word that you have ventured through enemy territory into the Outer Rim.
Senator Farr requested me personally, Chancellor.
I understand, but in these dangerous times, you should be accompanied by a clone escort.
Shuttle astronaut Robert Crippen was born today in 1937. Roxanne Dawson, Star Trek Voyager's feisty half-human, half-Klingon engineer, Betlana Torres, was born in 1958.
Today hasn't started out very well, and the last thing I need is to get involved with some obscure Klingon ritual.
You were the one who suggested it.
I know. And for one sentimental minute, I thought that I might actually go through with it, but not anymore.
Of course not. Wouldn't want to get too sentimental.
Elizabeth Henstridge of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was born today in 1987. The star of Bonanza and Battlestar Galactica, Lorne Greene, died on this day in 1987.
How can I tell my people that we cannot end our journey? All those who survived, all those who were born in space as you were, we are here. We are within reach of Earth.
So are our enemies.
Our enemies? We haven't seen the forces of the Cylon Alliance at a billion star miles.
Kim Hunter, who played Zira in the original Planet of the Apes movies, died in 2002.
Zira, are you mad? Dr. Milo, please do not call my wife mad.
I did not call her mad. I merely asked her if she was, and I repeat the question. Are you mad?
I hate deceit.
Well, there is a time for truth, and a time not for lies, but for silence. And until we know who our friends are and who our enemies...
And how in the name of God are we to know that unless we communicate? We can speak, so I spoke.
And we can listen.
On this day in 1965, Doctor Who had a new producer for the first time, as John Wiles took over from the show's first producer, Verity Lambert, for part one of the story, Galaxy 4.
Arrived, have we?
We have, my dear.
Good. Where?
Well, we should know all about that when we have a look at the scanner, don't we? Now, you can both take a look.
Wiles reportedly clashed with the series star, William Hartnell, over numerous issues, and his tenure as producer didn't last long. In 1966, a couple of astronauts found themselves tumbling back in time, just for laughs.
Well, Hector, wherever we are, this place has the same gravity as Earth. This planet's really kind of spooky. Let's look around. I don't know where we are, and I don't know what we'll find. Yeah. But if you should see anything unusual...
Unusual?
Or unfamiliar.
Unfamiliar?
Especially if it's alive and strange.
Alive and strange?
Let me know immediately.
How about now?
Well, those are just cavemen.
I don't believe it.
I believe it. I don't believe it.
I believe it.
It's About Time was a kind of time-traveling comedy of errors created by Sherwood Schwartz, the mind behind I Dream of Jeannie. But it only lasted one season, and the modern men in the time of cavemen storyline didn't even last that whole season. In 1976, the post-apocalyptic world came to Saturday morning TV.
For millions of years, Earth was fertile and rich. Then pollution and waste began to take their toll. Civilization fell into ruin. This is the world of the 25th century. Only a handful of scientists remain who have vowed to rebuild what has been destroyed. This is their achievement. A mobile storehouse of scientific knowledge. ARC 2, manned by a highly trained crew of young people. Their mission, to help bring the hope of a new future to mankind.
ARC 2 log, entry number 1. I, Jonah, Ruth, Samuel, and Adam are fully aware of the dangers we face as we venture into unknown, maybe even hostile areas. But we're determined to bring the promise of a new civilization to our people and our planet.
Filmation's live-action series ARC 2 premiered on CBS. Over on ABC, however, Sid and Marty Croft introduced us to a new dynamic duo. In 1996, Captain Janeway met Captain Sulu.
I don't get it. What's going on?
He is about to attempt a rescue of Captain Kirk and Dr. McCoy. As you can see, everyone seemed perfectly willing to go along with this breach of orders. However, I felt differently. Captain, am I correct in assuming that you have decided to embark on a rescue mission?
That's right. Do you have a problem with that, Ensign?
I do. It is a direct violation of our orders from Starfleet Command. And it could precipitate an armed conflict between the Klingon Empire and the Federation.
Objection noted. Resume your station.
Sir, as a Starfleet officer, it is my duty to formally protest.
Tuvok.
Ensign, you're absolutely right. But you're also absolutely wrong. You'll find that more happens on the bridge of a starship than just carrying out orders and observing regulations. There is a sense of loyalty to the men and women you serve with. A sense of family. Those two men on trial, I served with them for a long time. I owe them my life, a dozen times over. And right now they're in trouble, and I'm going to help them. Let the regulations be damned.
Thanks to a mind meld with Tuvok in the Star Trek Voyager episode Flashback, celebrating 30 years of the Star Trek franchise. In 1997, the first season of Lex came to an end, though many American viewers knew the show as Tales from a Parallel Universe. The final installment in a season of 4 movie-length episodes, Giga Shadow guest-starred Malcolm McDowell.
He's getting stronger. I can't hold him back. All right. You must kill me. I'm possessed by his shadow.
You can read about these events and many more on thelogbook.com's ever-evolving timeline of geek history. Thelogbook.com's podcasts and video productions are entirely listener, viewer, and reader-supported, and there's more than just the escape pod. There's Retrogram, where you pick a week between 1970 and 1990 to reassess all of that week's sci-fi, horror, superhero, and fantasy shows. There's Select Game, expanded memories of the Odyssey 2, covering one of the great overlooked classic video game systems. There are the frequent Phosphor.Fossils YouTube videos, each one revisiting classic arcade, computer, and home video games from the 70s through the 90s. And there are the Logbook.com's original books and ebooks, and much more. You can find ebooks or anything you might want to order from online vendors such as Amazon or eBay at thelogbook.com/store. Our original designs can be found on everything from t-shirts to socks to shower curtains to non-medical grade face masks at thelogbook.redbubble.com. You can support The Logbook on an ongoing basis at patreon.com/thelogbook or at Ko-fi, that's ko-fi.com/thelogbook. You can also help us out by subscribing to CBS All Access or Amazon Prime through the ads you'll find on nearly any page on thelogbook.com. Thanks for listening to The Escape Pod.
Commencing escape pod landing. Procedure. The logbook.
that your escape pod was rated and prone to spiral pain.